Yeah, so we went twice. And it was crazy. It was all girls. And, like, there was, like, probably, like, 10 guys. Probably 40 girls.
Dude, there was a girlfriend group, and, like, we were with them that night, you know, just smoking, doing, I think, chilling. She was like, we're going to tie our hands on. And we were like...
And you were like, I fucking hate dollars.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Kids at Work podcast. My name is Matt Corman. That's exactly why you're here today. It's a pretty cold fucking day today. I think it was like 20 degrees out. When I woke up, it was 15. It's December 19th. I have no idea when I'm going to release this, to be completely honest with you. So you could be listening to this in 2020, but probably not. I'm going to try to get this out before my man's concert over here. But in the studio today, we have TJ Hickey. What's going on, TJ?
Addie Corms. Good, man. I was just telling you this is... my first time doing this. So I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like, you ever watch like back in the heyday, there was like this nerd that used to dress up and like quiz artists.
Uh-huh.
What is it? Nardwar? Something like that?
Bro, yeah. Nice.
I feel like this is like Nardwar. You're going to go back and be like, yo, in third grade, your teacher called you a bitch and you cried. I'd be like, how'd you know that?
Pretty much. Dude, but these are cool because like a lot of, Like we were just talking about, like, it's going pretty well. Like, the streams are, like, okay.
Yeah, I see it,
like, 800 or 1,000 an episode, which is, like, pretty fucking good for people that give a fuck.
If you think about it, there's 1,000 people that want to hear you talk about, like, life and your perspective on things. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, all right,
it's not music either. It's not like it can be like, oh, I like this. I legitimately like Matt Corman enough. I want to get him and his take on things. And
That's a great thing because this thing is, like... Like, I have people that, like, well, like, if we talk about this podcast or whatever, it's, like, has nothing to do with my music.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the guests we have on, like, sometimes we don't even, like, talk. Like, I've had musicians on here, and we didn't even talk about music, you know.
Yeah.
Adrian, we did. Brigitte, we did. A little, we talk about more, like, just, like, the life in the background. And
yeah,
so, like,
music's different than like, Matt Corman, the artist, and Matt Corman, the person, are two completely different things.
Bro, some shit I rap about, I don't even do. Like, to be completely
honest. And then some shit that you, like, literally, it's quite the opposite, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, you literally are doing a bunch of things that you don't even rap about that are, like, super cool, but, like, it doesn't fit the scene or
that's a good point.
Whatever. There's, like, a ton of shit like that.
Yeah.
And you learn that, like, as you go on, too, of, like... You listen to, like I said, we were talking about this earlier, like, you listen to your old songs, and you're like, God, this is bad.
The cringe.
This is bad. This is exaggerated, or this is this. Obviously, music is supposed to be an escape, or, like, something you can do where you talk about shit that, like, you want to do, you've seen, like, so it's not really, like, you're exaggerating or lying, but, like, that you're setting the scene, like, I remember Mac Miller was like, I rap about shit that I don't do, but I rap about shit that I plan on doing. Like, I'm going to speak it into existence.
That's actually dope.
And that's, like, pretty much what you do as an artist. Like, you're escaping your own world and your reality to, like, talk about something that people want to do.
Yeah.
Like, who doesn't want to go party with a bunch of chicks and all the pool parties?
Pull up in a dope car? Who doesn't want that?
So, speak it into existence. So, like, there's always that fine line between, like, yo, you're just lying about shit, and you're just trying to speak it into existence. It's two different things, you know?
Dropping fucking gems. You sound great on this thing. I feel like you've already ripped the fucking pot in your day. Let me get the time up there. All right, cool. Yo, so so for people that don't know you, I know you, but people that don't know you, that are, you know, just kind of hearing your name for the first time or the podcast, can you, like, run through, like, a little background of, like, who you are, maybe, and, like, what's up?
So my name's TJ Hickey. I'll never forget when I started this, people were like, what's your real name?
Really?
Yeah,
I feel like that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's TJ Hickey, and, like, they were like, there's no stage name. I'm like, no, that's it. It's like every interview you do, it's your first name. Your first question. I was born in Charlestown, Mass. I moved to Winchester in the suburbs, like 8 miles away. I was about 16 or 17. I did my last years of high school there. Went to college. I had a pretty weird hockey career.
Mm-hmm.
I was recruited pretty heavily out of college. I ended up committing somewhere and then not getting in academically, which was like a weird
thing. That's how it went?
Yeah, I committed to Holy Cross out of high school, my junior year of high school. So I had 2 years. They told me to go to Phillips Andover. I went to Phillips Andover, and all of a sudden, like, one day, I just got a rejection letter. I called the coach. No answer. Never called me back ever again. To this day, never called me back. He left Holy Cross and went to Harvard. So I was like, okay. So I'm, like, trying to, like, figure out what my plan is.
Mm.
And then I had walk-on offers from Northeastern and Union.
What the fuck? Kid can move the puck. Kid can move the fucking puck.
Back in the heyday. It's a decade ago now, dude. Yeah. It's fucking crazy to think about that.
Damn, that is crazy.
Yeah. I haven't played a legitimate hockey game in a decade. You know, now me and you are at
1040. Me too. Like, I haven't played since high school. I graduated in 13.
Yeah.
That's not a decade yet, but
it's pretty close.
That's pretty
close. Seven years.
Damn, bro. I mean, I played some club at SNU, but, like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
I did that too, but for me, it was like, why am I taking a check for him when there's like nothing on the line?
I feel you, man.
Well, this kid's about to slash my arm off, and like, there's not only not a scholarship anymore, there's no like promise of a scholarship. You're not playing for something. It's just like club hockey to like keep it relative.
Yeah.
But I didn't go. I didn't want to go Northeastern because A, I probably never played. I was like a fringe fourth line player, like at any division one school.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't want to go to school in the city. Like, I lived there.
Really?
I lived there like 16 years of my life. I wanted to go to a campus school where like you go to the cafeteria,
yeah, me too, yeah.
And like you go to like parties and like people are there. Like, you go to Northeastern, like you're in the city. Like,
yeah.
People are going to like Coogan's and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just wasn't like I wanted to go to a campus school. So I went to Union, and the guy that recruited me, gave me the offer to recruited walk on, he left in the summer of my like going there.
What
so
the fuck?
I was like kind of like chasing coaches at a point. So I went to Union. It was a brand new assistant coach who had never seen me, talked to me, heard me, or
so
whatever.
So open trial kind of deal?
Yeah. He was like, listen, we'll give you a shot and see how it goes. So I lasted like, I think August was training camp. We played like two or three games where I was in the stands just like taking stats.
Mm-hmm. I've been
so
there.
It was probably like 3 or 4 months. I think around like Thanksgiving, I like wasn't playing and I was like, this isn't working out. And he was like, this isn't working out. So he was like, listen, we're going to let you go. And I was like, all right, can I like transfer? And he was like, D1 to D1, you have to sit out a year. And I was like,
what the fuck's the point of that? Really?
Yeah, you can't go D1 to D1 without sitting. I mean, you can't go from like BC and like go to BU and just do it. And Union was the same way. And then, it's such a long fucking story, but the quick news is I went to Trinity College. And I went to Trinity, and the guy brought me there. I mean, I could have went to, like, a couple of NESCAC schools, which is, like, Trinity, Connecticut College, blah, blah, blah. And I went there, and it was 3 days in. The guy thought I was a cancer to the locker room. And was
to the locker room?
Yeah, he was like, we don't like you're like a D1 kid coming into a D3 program, and you think you're like too good for this and that. So they cut me too, and I was like, holy shit. I just went from, like, everything to nothing in, like, a year and a half. And I was just out of hockey. So it was my sophomore year. My sophomore year was out of hockey, and I had done like, you know, the PG year and all the teams, blah, blah, blah. So I was like in the prime of your college career, and I was done.
You know what's crazy about that story? The similarities it has to my DJ Hep and then another kid Spags, who he played, that I had on this podcast. Both my boys, he played hockey and baseball at Sanu, and Hep, he like played professional soccer for the New England Revolution,
and
he hit like some roadblocks in life, like. He would get going somewhere, and then like something would happen, and it's like he's not doing it.
Yeah,
and, like, he gets somewhere, and then I feel like right with you with like music that you're doing this, and you're like, holy shit, it's going well, and then you're like, well, like that only got that amount of plays, like that was supposed to blow me up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, and dude, the same thing with like your athletics, it sounds like, and also you know what's like crazy, like synonymous is like when you're an athlete. Like, and you're going to play, like, college hockey, and you're telling, like, your buddies and, like, kids from the town, and you're like, yeah, like, I'm going to go play over here. And it's like a – I mean, you were fucking talking about dope schools.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, like, TJ's probably, like, going to go play there. And then you kind of get your haters and shit.
Yeah.
And then shit may not work out. And then they probably talking about you. I'm just assuming.
Yeah, you're literally hitting the nail on the head.
And then it's like – and then you're running into the issues on your own. They're completely out of your control. And then you wind up, you're like, well, I'm not even playing hockey anymore. And then till then, they look like they fucking won. You know what I mean?
In a year and a half, too. So people that, like – didn't think I was going to make it on there, didn't think I was going to go there.
Yeah.
They were like, told you so. And you're like, and that's how I got into like music. I mean, you're the same way. Like, we had pretty similar, like,
for sure.
A big athlete.
Yeah.
You're going to like, you're looked at in a certain way, like, especially as a hockey player. Like, people, like, I don't want to say look up to you in high school, I don't want to say envy you, but like,
there's a status
when you're like an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So once I literally got cut from all those teams, I felt like I lost my status. I was like, shit, like, people were right.
What year was this?
This was 2011.
11? So you weren't making music yet. Hold on, I'm going to shut the door. I realize the heat's on, so that was loud.
No, I wasn't. I had never even made a song in 2010, 11. And in 2012, I went to Trinity. I cut from Trinity. I had, like, gone in the studio, like, once or twice with my buddies.
Yeah.
And just, like, just going around. Like, I made locker room songs.
I was going to say, were you like, a guy? So, I was always freestyling in the locker room with my buddy, you know, banging on the bench and shit. Like, were you that guy that was freestyling?
I wasn't, like, I would always just, like, write raps about the kids in my locker room. And I used to just, like, go around and, like, do a line for everyone.
Oh, that's tight.
And it was on GarageBand. Like, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It would always be, like, literally just making fun of kids. You know what I mean? We used to play in the locker room because it was, like, hilarious. And then I lost hockey. And I was, like, I need to find, like, something that's gonna like give me that feeling of being a hockey player in high school and in college and like blah blah blah. And that's like how it all started.
And that's how you got into music?
Yeah, it literally just, I had no musical gift whatsoever.
Anyone in your do you also family background for you? Do you have your brothers or sisters?
No, I have three. I have three younger sisters.
Three and younger sisters.
I have one that's two years younger than me, and then I have 8 and 9 years younger. So they were way younger.
Holy
than
fuck!
Me. Yeah, and they were both hockey players too.
Oh really?
Yeah.
No shit. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're a hockey family.
I guess. Well, I mean, Charlestown guys. You know. You
yeah. Push a local hockey guys. Yeah, you have to.
Okay, that's dope. I mean, I wanted to get into kind of like how you got into music. That was like my next thing. You kind of got into there, but I mean, that kind of comes to terms with it. For those who like, I don't know if you know this, and this is the beauty of like having this fucking podcast, because like when you ever get to sit down and just talk to somebody just one on one like this,
yeah,
like you never fucking do anymore. And so, like, that's one of the reasons why I love doing this, because I get to learn more about people. And, like, my friends, dude, I've learned so much about my friends just because, like, you get them in a room, you're able to, like, talk about, like, their life story and, like, mine and how it fucking relates. And you're like, holy shit, I'm not closer to this fucking kid than I thought.
And you know? Understand, like, why the way they are, like, that.
Yeah.
I think about how many times, like, especially in sports, too, when you're playing against someone and you know of them and then, like, it's a heated rivalry and you hate their fucking guts.
For no fucking reason.
And you meet them and you're like, it's a good guy.
Dude, when I first met you and we went to, like, your house, that was like, what, 2 years ago?
Maybe? Yeah, it was probably, yeah.
With Donnie. I remember we were like leaving your house after and like in the car, you know, like you hop in the car, like after usually like, you talk about like, the interaction
you just had. Yeah, yeah.
We're just sitting there, we go quiet for like a second, like down to your hill, and my buddy Donzie goes, great fucking guy.
I go,
that kid was good kids.
We did the same exact thing. Really? Yeah. I'll never forget because like my buddies were on the couch and they were just listening to his talk and they're like, hey, he seems like a regular kid. I'm like, dude, not all artists are whack jobs.
Yeah. But that's what we talked about. Like sometimes, like, I feel like that's why we click too. It's because it's like similarities. Like obviously both hockey guys. Like I'm not from Boston. I'm a Yuppie, but I mean I'm from the Cape.
Yeah.
But like, I know you got a summer house on the Cape though.
So and I was gonna say like all my friends now are from the Cape. Like,
oh really?
We're all Cape friends.
They're no shit. Like, they're from Barnstable?
Yeah, they're seasonal guys. And I don't mean like seasonal. Like they went to boarding school for their lives. So like they were there in the summers, like they have their houses.
No, I know a couple of those guys.
One of my best friends and my first producer like lives like next to me down the Cape.
Yeah,
and he doesn't know any Cape kids because he went to boarding school at Cushing.
Okay.
And so like he's a Cape guy, but like he doesn't really have like an identity down there.
Isn't that crazy? Like he lives his life like over there, and then he's like
He's done it since sixth grade.
I went to private school growing up.
Yeah.
And like I felt that way. Like I went to private school up until the sixth grade, and then I went to Barnstable public schools. And I felt like when I went to Barnstable, I was like, I really don't know anybody in my fucking town.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Kind
of crazy. And I knew a bunch of like Cape people because we were down there so much.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm not like a Cape kid. But, like I had a huge like people. I just knew like a bunch of people
since you were young, or is this like recent like adult?
I'd say like like 16 to like 21 type of thing. Like you're real like adolescence. Like,
well, those are the beauty house years.
Parties. Yeah, exactly. Dude. You're going to parties every single night. There's no such thing as work. Like we were coaching tennis kids. Like, hey, we
Oh, you know, dude, you start figuring out what's really fun at 16.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Oh, that's funny. All right, dope. Yeah, so that kind of covered that a little bit, but I want to dive more into like you and a little more of these mental, these kind of setbacks. So like feedback I've gotten from these podcasts is right. Everybody loves when we bullshit around and like the funny stuff's fun and stuff. But like my whole goal of this was to provide value and like real fucking value to people that have experience. And like you've had real life fucking experiences with like the music thing and like even like career wise and like, I mean, sports. There's kids out there who have they're like dreaming to get looked at by fucking D1 colleges and they're dreaming to do what the fuck you did with music too. I mean, so it's kind of like you have a lot of fucking knowledge to spread. And I didn't tell you this, but like, I remember when I started making music, I was 19, right? So I was like, what, sophomore going to junior year college. I remember you did a show with like Cam Meekins. And I didn't know who Cam Meekins was, but I was like, oh, this kid's like famous, bro. I was like, he's popping off, you know what I mean? And I thought the same about you. I was like, holy shit, like TJ Hickey, like this kid's great. I remember like scrolling through your Twitter being like, looking at all the replies you had of all these people. And I'm like, holy shit, this kid's a real fan base. I didn't know what a fan was. You know what I mean? I think I had like two songs on SoundCloud.
And now look at you though, right?
Yeah, no, it's crazy how fucking.
You gotta look back.
Yeah. Because it's crazy like sitting here because I remember like being in Barnstable, like in my bed, like looking at your profile, being like, oh, this kid's got it made. Yeah. You know what I mean? Dude, this kid's fucking got it all, dude.
Crazy. And then you don't. And now it's funny because like now like you drop something, right? And you get like, let's call it like 10,000 plays in the first week. And you're like, shit.
Shit, right?
Like, I'm like, well, 3 years ago, I was like begging to get like 5 comments, and like now you're like mad and like you don't appreciate it as much because obviously like your focus and your brand has been built and blah, 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 and you had all this time. But like, you don't think about the fact that like 3 years ago you were begging for this. You were looking at that and being like, yo, I want to be that. You are that. And people don't like appreciate that. And that makes people, that's like how people get depressed about that stuff. Like, you always got to like look back and be like, look at how far I've come.
Do you do that? Do you do that often? Do you ever like look back at like your kind of? I feel like you, I want to kind of dive into your career with music too because like you've done shit that like I even still want to do. Like I feel like you, I mean you toured, you've done a bunch of shows, you've done way more shows than me. I feel like and like you've dropped hella music videos, professional quality. Like you've been around the fucking block, you know.
Definitely. Listen, music is no different than hockey. It's no different than life. You gotta get like you gotta catch a break. You gotta catch a break. You gotta be in the right spots. You gotta have like good music. You gotta have like a good like I don't want to call it a brand because I've never really believed in that. But like you gotta have the look. Blah 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 blah. But at the end of the day, like you gotta get a little bit lucky. So
dude,
I was lucky enough. Like in order, to, I'll just say like the I started making music. And I don't know how yours was. I was obviously laughed at. I was made fun of. People were like, yo, you're gonna be a fucking rapper, dude. Like, what are you talking about? So like, I know like people get that somewhere. If someone came in and was like, yo, you're gonna be a doctor, it's like, dude, fuck off.
It's crazy because you just got like you got hate from the from the hockey thing. And then you start on this music thing and like, then right away it's like
this kid's falling apart. Like what? Like what? Talk about a spiral. Like, what are you talking? And then like you're doing songs and they're getting like 8 plays. You know what I mean? Like, and they're like, what are you even like doing? And like, you know, like.
But you never stopped.
No, you, because you know that's like the number one thing I'd say to people. Like you probably get the same. I get like DMs being like, yo, you have any advice on like making music? And like for a while, I used to get like annoyed by that. And I don't mean like I was annoyed like the people reaching out. It's like make music for yourself. Like, I literally have made music because I like to make music because I legitimately think it's, like, a drug. Like you, once you start and you get, like, that rush, like, creating a song and, like, having it come out how you want to is, like, the best thing in the world.
Yep.
Like, you can expect plays and want to have, like, 10,000, 100,000. Like, some of my favorite songs don't even have 5,000 plays.
My favorite artists aren't like, smaller they aren't than, big. They're small.
So, like, I make music for me. Like, why do you, like, the whole, like, how'd you keep going through, like, all the hate and all that, like, the people making fun of me? I was like, dude, I do this legitimately for me. Like, I want to prove to people that I can, like, do it. But at the end of the day, like, if I had 8 people listening to my songs, I'd still make music. I have to. Like, it's just, it's a part of who I am now.
Dude, that makes you, like, really successful already, right? Because, like, you...
For yourself.
Yeah, like, for yourself. Because so many times, like, I've thought, I'm like... Like, I've thought sometimes, I'm like, why, like, if like, would I keep doing this? You know what I mean? Right. I think that I would. I can relate on the drug thing. Like, I think I'd still be making music. But, like, at the end of the day, if I, like, I don't know. Like, you still are fucking, like, you still have that drive to keep going. And that means you're truly, it's your passion. Like, you're truly fucking in love
with it. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely days where you don't want to do it anymore. You're like, why am I not?
We're not fucking Drake and Post Malone,
Like, you know? You're not there. And you're definitely like, oh, I should give up. Just like you wouldn't anything.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I listen to like, I'll, you know, I haven't made a song in 2 weeks and I'll be on the radio, I'll listen to something and be like, I gotta go make a song. Like,
facts.
I can do better than this. Facts. Or whether it's like, hey, this is good. Like it inspired me to do something. Like that's like the competitive edge I think I took from sports and I put it into music.
Yeah. So early on, you were, I feel like you were, well, I guess I don't know. Cause I was like on my like fucking fanboy watch and shit. You know what I mean? And I didn't understand the
game. We all started there too. I did it. I mean, look, I told you that we're like 4 or 5 years apart, and like that's a huge difference in like your 20s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I was looking up to Mac Miller and Sammy Adams and like Chris Webby to a certain standpoint, and I saw like Mike Studd and Huey Mack and Cam Meekins and like all these guys like doing it, and I was like, man, like I think I can do this. Like if they're catching a wave, like, I think I can too. It's not to say like I thought I was better than them.
Yeah.
I was gonna just like, I think I can do this. Like, let me look at what they're doing.
So, well, good to know on your end.
Yeah.
I was looking at you and the people in my group was looking at isn't you being crazy? Like, isn't that crazy? Like, I was like, oh, TJ Hickey's doing
it. Crazy.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, you like there are people that look at it now too, though. There's probably kids that like look at me like, oh, I want to do what he's doing.
That's exactly
But
right.
it's just never fucking ending. It's and it's circle, like, you know what it's I mean?
Circle of life right it, there, bro.
It comes to like the grass is always greener on the other side. But until you like look back and appreciate what's yours, it's like
you're always gonna want what you can't have or what you aspire to be. But at the end of the day, when you like actually look back, like you look back and I saw everyone does this with their like your Spotify and you get like 2 million plays.
If you
told like the 19-year-old you would have 2 million plays in 1 year on one service,
yeah,
you'd be like, I wish. Dude.
Yeah, I'll be balling. Yeah.
That's like I'll have a Ferrari by then. Right?
Dude,
that's not how it works.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, that's like crazy. 2 million people heard your song.
Isn't that fucking gnarly?
Insanity to me.
Yeah, we're talking about like no, I want to keep this in this before I go into that shit. Dude, okay, so first song, by the way, first song I heard from you was a goddamn video of a guy on a track working out and shit.
Oh, Undeniable?
Maybe it might be Undeniable. I think that was like that sounds like a back like in 2014 area, right?
Yeah, I'd say 2015.
2015,
yeah.
Right? That makes sense. That's when I started. That's probably my junior year. Or some
2015,
shit like that.
Probably.
So I graduated in 2017. That's sophomore junior year,
yeah,
right?
Probably 2015.
So, dude, I remember hearing that and I was like, oh shit! I'm like, dude, this kid's got the professional quality. Like he's fucking. And dude, that sounds fire too.
Yeah.
And then recently, like you had Look at Me, which is fucking what 1.2 million almost?
Yeah, 1.7, 1.8, something like that. Which I did not anticipate that.
I mean, shit's crack. I just listened to it bringing the beers up. So, like, you know what I mean? Shit's fire.
Yeah.
But, like, all the remixes and stuff, like, what inspired, like, doing, like, why'd you stick to the remixes versus making kind of the originals? I know you still make original music.
Yeah.
But, like, you went kind of heavy on the remixes.
Definitely. Time flies. I used to watch the Time Flies Tuesday videos.
No shit.
Yeah, and everyone did, and they were like a big deal.
I mean, yeah, they were
and,
tight,
and they got big off it. And I always wanted to like do my spin on remixes. Mm. Like there are certain songs I've remixed. I hated the song. I'm just like I'll just be completely honest. I didn't like the song, and I wanted to like rap over it. Or if it was a rapping song, I wanted to sing over it. Yeah. I always wanted to like do a spin on it because people like radio songs, and it's just because they're like they're brainwashed. Let's call it what it is. Like, they don't even know.
People still tell me they're like, you should do a remix. Like my friends, but like, you should do a remix
every
of the.
Time, yeah,
you probably get it. And like in my head, I'm just like, I want to make my own original ass shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. You probably get it more because like, you do. Remixes.
No, I did it, and I just wanted to be like I did a Post Malone song.
I probably heard it. I just spent an hour and a half watching TJ.
I told him he lost brain cells. I can't think of the song. Oh, Jackie Chan. So I did the hook just like Posted because I'm a huge Post Malone fan.
I mean,
and I used to like fix songs I didn't like. Like I legitimately in my head was like, I'm gonna fix this. Like it has some potential, but
that's cool.
Fix it.
Yeah.
But I did the Post one exactly like Post, and people were like, "Yo, like you sound like Post here." You know what I mean? And it to me it was like, "Yeah, dude, like." People can do. I can do what people do on the radio. Post is dope. I'm not saying I'm Post Malone, but like, my point was like, I can do it what they do. Yeah. It's just not on the radio because guess what? It's not on the radio. I don't have an agency. I don't have like $1 million behind my brand. But like, I'm just as talented in my own way to be able to do something like that.
Facts. And that like surprises people. They're like, holy shit! You like, I get the fucking Drake thing all the time.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah,
it's
it's
like, yo, like, I mean, I get why too, but like, it's like at the end of the day, like. Doing what, like, the only reason why it's cool to them, and it's the same thing as a consumer versus provider. It's majority of the world are just fucking consumers, dude. And, like, at one point in our life, we decided to be the people who provide the content versus consuming it.
Yeah.
And, like, majority of people didn't create anything, man. No. And, like, notice, majority of these listeners are consumers, so I don't want to be like, I'm not being a dickhead, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's called Kids at Work. It's supposed to be like, you know, you're just at work, you know, you're working 9-to-5 doing the thing, which, like, I'm about to start doing. And, like, it's like, that's fine and all, but, like, it's. From the standpoint of us creators, it's like we know how to fucking make that shit. It's just like there's so many extra factors on why we're not Post Malone.
Yeah,
on why we're not.
And consumers are obviously gonna like rate stuff and decide what's good and what's bad. I mean, that's kind of like how it works.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like the old saying of like they all hate it till they all love it is like the most true thing in the world. Like people hate stuff because everyone else hates it. People love stuff because everyone loves it, and it's always like just gone right through me. Like I hate them. It's like you don't even know them.
So yeah, you don't even know.
Careful with like that judgment.
Yeah.
Again, at the end of the day, like they decide what's gonna go big and what's not. Yeah. But just take a minute to look at it deeper before.
That's crucial. So that's like one of these things. Like I was trying to I'm reading this book and I was trying to like it's one of those things and like that I'm trying to learn right now.
Yeah.
And like I've been expressing it this past like year or so, but like I see it with my friends a lot. You know, just like you know, just like normal like fucking boys like talk about like. Oh, that kid's a fucking loser, you know what I mean? Like,
fuck that kid.
And I'm just like, you actually have never talked to him.
Yeah.
You've never talked to him. You've seen him post on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, you don't like, know anything. And it's just, like, about that, like, taking a second to, like, fucking understand.
And that's the stuff, though. That's, like, the number one thing that I would say about you and me specifically is that, like, people that don't know us don't like us.
Oh.
It's a fact of life. Like,
fact.
I've learned, like, literally, it took me a while, but, like, I learned right away that, like, people aren't going to like me before they meet me, which is why I you know, I was telling you, I don't listen to podcasts, but like, that's probably why people fall in love with podcasts, because you understand the person more. And once you understand them, you like them, for better or for worse.
Yeah. Imagine the hater, the TJ Higgy hater, like, listens to this and they'd like listen to you. They're like, oh, well, like, all right, he's like, all right. Like,
I can't tell you.
You know what I mean?
I can't tell you how many people have like met me and they're like, dude, like, I hated you before this. I'm like, I never met you before in my life. And like, what? I know, but like why would I listen to it? Like, the braggadocious music, or like you being on camera, like thinking you're the man and stuff like that. And like, some people like really hate that. Like, some people gravitate towards it, but a lot of people like don't know me, just legitimately don't like me. And it's always bothered me, but I've learned to like accept it is what it is.
Well, you gotta tell your story. You're a very confident person. And I think
you have to be.
I was just gonna say, so like, you're very confident, and like I am as well. And I think that like, people who aren't fucking hate that, dude.
Yeah.
Like, they hate if I'm like, yo, it's me. Like, this is me. Like, I am me.
Yeah.
And then like, you're like, I'm TJ Hickey.
Yeah.
But like, some people are like, well, like, I'm kind of this guy if you like that guy. But like, if that's cool at that moment, then like, I'm kind of that guy too. Like, whatever you guys want, it's cool. You know what I mean? But like, we are so like, you're a rapper. Like, you do all the shit. You know what I mean? It's like, that's like who the fuck we are. So people are intimidated.
But the most important part about confidence is, for me, and I actually talk to my little sisters about this all the time. They just go like, oh, you're confident. Like, you can do that stuff. It's like, no, like, that. I'm insecure as everyone else. Like, I'm super insecure. In fact, my life is so like a bigger profile than the regular person that they look at me when I fall, like, I really fucking fall. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, are looking at me. So I have more people looking at me. But confidence is like, it's fake. You have to, it comes from yourself.
Yeah.
Like, as corny as that sounds, like, you have to convince yourself. I always tell my little sisters when they play hockey, I'd be like, you have to convince yourself you're the best player on the ice. It doesn't come from like everyone else. Like, success breeds confidence. I understand that. Yeah. But confidence breeds success. Like, you have to like fake it till you make it in a certain way where like, you mentally have conquered everything, and like, if you fail, you don't really care.
Yeah,
it's different.
That's a fucking gem. 28 minutes, marking that down. That was a fucking gem.
It's just real, man. Dude, I just learned it so like throughout life that like, your confidence, you can just do whatever you want. I'm not. It's like, you're choosing that.
Yeah,
like, you gotta like literally get yourself mentally like, I can do whatever the fuck Joe and Pete can do, or whatever. Yeah. If it's a girl, it's the same thing. Like, just believe in yourself.
It definitely comes from hockey.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was like trying out for like, I played in the EHF, you know that league?
Yeah.
Because I was playing for the Bandits one time, and like, I was going, like, we had like, they're supposed to be like stacked, right?
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't anything special at all, right? Yeah. No Northeastern looks. Like, I'm talking about, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't playing anywhere.
Right.
But like, I remember going to this tryout and I was like, holy fuck, like, these kids, I know these kids are fire. Like, they had, the team won the championship last year.
Yeah.
I remember the car ride there, I just kept telling myself that I was literally the best defenseman out there.
Yeah.
And like, every single one-on-one I had, I was like, in my head, I was like, it's impossible for this guy to get by me.
Right.
Lights out tryout.
Telling you.
Lights out tryout. And I do, before I go on stage, I tell like, I have my drummer and my DJ, and I'm just like, and we're huddled up, whatever, and I'm like, listen, guys, like, I don't care who played earlier, who played afterwards. We are the best.
Yeah.
Like, and we could, like, I say that if Drake was playing that night.
Yeah, it's a mental.
It's a mental. Because, like, honestly, am I better than Drake? No. Yeah, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I fucking know that. But, no, like.
But you have to convince yourself.
Yeah, because then you'll show that.
Yeah.
You know, when you're out there.
And when you go on stage, too, like, I always find it so funny that, like, I actually had someone. It was actually one of my friends, too. I have this song called Neighbors Mad that I do live. Uh-huh. And I played it live before he'd heard it. And he was like, dude, that song is fucking unbelievable, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, a week goes by and he texts me and he's like, yo, like, Neighbors Mad is only good live. And I was
really?
Like, and I was like,
I've heard that for some songs.
And I was like, but listen, like, that's what you perform. Like, when you go perform and you do a song and like, I don't know how many people listen to this or artists, like, you have to convince the crowd it's the best song ever created.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with like, if it is or if it isn't. Tonight, that song is the, like, your energy and like, your confidence can, I could literally perform the worst song ever. But if my confidence and my like, stage presence is on key, it's gonna be the best song ever created, and people are gonna believe that, and they're gonna gravitate towards you.
I've seen you perform like 3 times, maybe. Like, I've seen you, I went at the Futuristic show, I was at that one, the downstairs, I came to your Christmas one in the upstairs, and then I might have came to like another one because you do one like every year,
right? Yeah, we did a Christmas show for like 3 or 4 years.
Okay, I came to like 2 of them, I think, whatever. But dude, I actually pulled up a fucking, I had a YouTube video, literally, if it pulled up right here, it's literally this one. It was funny that you were talking about this. This one, bro.
Jesus.
This shirtless and shit face.
I don't even know what this is. This is a YouTube video? This is news to me. That's what they're talking about. I don't even know this shit.
But dude, all I saw when I see this is like, holy shit, this kid's confident. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but you also see, like, I look at this and I'm like, I get why people hate me. I mean, that's what it is.
I mean, you get the show, but, like, I'm looking from an artist standpoint, and I'm like, holy shit, this kid, like I believe, if I didn't know who you were,
yeah,
and like I was there that night, and like I have an open mind,
yeah,
and like this kid,
you have an open mind. There's a difference,
right? Yeah, but then you're taking off your shirt, you're like, we're shirtless, everyone's, and you wait for them, and shit, like, dude, other artists would perform that so differently. It would just be like, I'm shirtless and I'm shit faced. You know what I mean? It's but you do that, and now all fucking 400, 500 of them are screaming it at you. They don't even know.
Yeah.
And like, they're like, yeah, now I am. Like, that's the type of shit I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, defines the art. That's why, dude, you are a good performer. Like, I remember the first time I saw you, actually, I think it might have been that. This is probably 2015, right?
This is, I might have been on my fanboy. That might be the Huey. Yeah, it was. So I was the Huey in the Cam one, and Futuristic was on that, and then Futuristic did another one in 2016. But that's what I was talking about, the difference. Like, there's Matt Corman the artist.
Yeah.
And there's Matt Corman the person.
Yeah.
When you're an artist, you're trying to evoke an emotion.
Mm.
I take my shirt off and do a song called Shirtless and Shitfaced, right?
Yeah.
So like, shirtless and shit face is something that, like, you're on the beach and you're drinking with your boys. Like, that's the moment I want to bring people to.
Right? Facts. I feel it.
But people look at that and they're like, look at this asshole with his shirt off. And it's like, no, dude, like, I'm an artist. My job is to evoke emotion.
Mm.
My job is to get someone out of where they are, because they're probably listening. And it's, you know, right now, we almost just slipped on ice on the way in here.
Fuck yeah.
And all people want to do is, like, be on the beach and get away from them. That's why you listen to music.
Yeah.
And I've always been so frustrated with people being like, shirtless and shit face, dude, huh? And you're like, yeah, dude, that's the artist evoking an emotion, telling a story, like creating, like, it's no different than a writer writing a book or a director with a movie. Like,
great point.
Cool the Jets on who I am, and like on a Monday at 2 o'clock compared to a Saturday, you know, night at 10 o'clock. And that's like the biggest difference that people can't seem to get. When you're an artist, you're writing stories.
Yeah.
You're not always telling you like who I am or, you know, what I'm about. Sometimes you do. I mean, I know you have your deep records too. Mm-hmm, like sometimes you want to be vulnerable and do all that. That has its own ups and downs. But at the end of the day, like, I'm writing a story. I'm not writing about me.
Yeah.
I am just happened, like, shirtless shit face. What are you, you're not going to take your shirt off?
If you just take a shirt off there, I'd be like, this guy's a fraud.
I'm putting a show on, dude. Yeah, I'm putting a show on. So, like, yes, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah. I feel you. I mean, like, dude, 100%. I used to be in a relationship for, like, 7 years.
Yeah,
and
that's hard in music. So, God bless you.
For sure. Yeah, dude. And I used to write relationship songs from my friends' perspectives.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
they
would, like,
thing.
Be fucking around with girls and shit, and they'd be like, oh, like, she cheated on me, blah, blah. And, like, I had a perfect relationship for mad long.
Right.
I don't have any heartbreak stories. Now I do, but before I didn't, so I used to write mad songs about them. But if, like, someone was like, oh, like, you went through that, it's like, no, I actually didn't. You know what I mean? That's me being an artist invoking an emotion. You know what I mean?
Exactly right. You're telling a story. I mean, I've never had, like, a legitimate girlfriend through it all.
Yeah.
I was writing love songs.
That's interesting. Wow,
you
really?
You write love songs because, like, you're temporarily in love, or, like, you know what love is, or, like, you can be in love for a hot second. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. Like, you're telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's music. People listen to it to escape reality.
Yeah.
What am I going to talk about? Like, my trip to school and studying for a paper, or my trip to my 9-to-5 job that
facts.
I hate? You got to write about shit that's, like, out there.
Yeah, yeah, facts. And I only go so fucking far. Dude, we're fucking crushing it right now. This is a good one. Dude, we already covered that one. I don't actually want to go back there. But, while we're on YouTube, I just want to credit you on this moment. So, guys, this is called TJ Hickey, So You're a Rapper, Right? Look it up on YouTube. This is one of my favorite moments in this video.
I actually hate this song, but I love this video.
Okay, this video is
and this concept.
Fucking sick, bro. When you guys, like, pulled up in the car, like, I was watching this, I was like, him and Matt destroyed this whole thing.
Yeah.
Did you know I dropped Matt off the night he filmed this at your house?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I was Matt's first ever music video. So when you sent him, like,
holy
professional
shit.
Videos, I thought it was so funny. He was, like, a friend of a friend, and we were at UMass, and that's where all my buddies went. And someone was like, he'll do a music video. And it was, like, $50. I think I bought his beer that night and a slice of pizza.
Perfect.
And he ended up, like just being, like, a super talented guy. That's why I was saying, like, you got to catch a break. Like, he just created stuff like this, and I knew him for so long.
Yeah.
That,
he crushed it. Well, look at this. Superb acting right here. So my favorite part here, I was just laughed out
cringe,
loud.
Cringe, right?
Dude, like, they're so excited to see her. Yeah. I just know this fucking feeling, dude. The look back. Watch
you know
this funny, I love the hand motion, bro. You don't know whether to go for the handshake or not. You're like, I couldn't see it.
True, because I mean, that's how you're gonna have to do the same thing someday too. I mean, if God willing, that's how it works.
Classy bottle of wine.
I'm gonna have to
looks you off. Just looks the other way, dude. It's just fucking beautiful.
It's so realistic to me for, like, my life, and and yours and a lot of artists that are like that is like, if you ever want a conventional family or if you ever want that, uh-huh. like, I don't know if I want that right now. I mean, I'm single. I'm still in my 20s.
How the hell we know, right?
But that's going to be it. Yeah. It's like, you can't hide your music at this point. Like our profiles, I keep saying they're so high as if like I think I'm somebody important.
Well, if
like,
you Google TJ Hickey, I'm certain they'll not gonna find you know your daily date.
It's exactly right. Like it's gone to a point where like there's no going back. You can't hide it. It is what it is. So like now you have to embrace it, and how you embrace it is like that, and like that's why like rapper makes you sound like you sell drugs and shoot guns.
Or you're
40 and you live in your mom's basement and smoke weed. So that's why I always said I've always hated the word rapper.
Yeah.
You can rap and not be a rapper. Fine, you can call me a rapper, but like derogatory way of saying it, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel you, dude. I won't play, but this whole fucking thing. Check it, I'm subbed too. But this whole scene of the fucking dinner table, bro.
Yeah,
is so funny when the dad's like, "That's like, so like, what do you do?" I'm a rapper, and
you're
like,
trying to talk around it.
Talking
about your,
I've done it before.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I've been like, oh, you know, yeah, like I'm in sales, like completely. Don't even mention it. You know what I mean? But no, you know,
no girl's dad wants to be like, "Oh, my girlfriend's boyfriend is a rapper."
Yeah, nobody
just,
wants.
No
that.
One hears that. Like, it's just that sounds horrible.
Yeah,
and it's unfortunate too because like, you know, you're judging someone before you even like you're just judging the word rapper at that point. Like I'm not 50 Cent. You're not 50 Cent. I never claimed to be 50 Cent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because I fell in love with rap music.
Dude, do you have a favorite? We didn't get to talk about like touring and shows yet. And like, do you have like a favorite? This kind of may coincide with this, but do you have a favorite year of? I'm not gonna say making music, but like I'll say about like following your passion or dreams. I could even relate that to hockey as well. But do you have like a favorite year? I do want to hear about music too, because most of the people that are listening to this probably know you from music. You know what I mean? You have a favorite year of making music, maybe like from touring or like when you had a song that really clicked or something?
Probably 2015. 2015 was when I did the Things Change tour with Huey and Futuristic and Cam Meekins. And those were like three artists that I really liked.
Yeah. So was that your like first one?
That was my second one. I did one with Huey and Jonas, the one before, but that was like 10 dates. This one was like 27 or 28.
That's and a I
was
lot. Like and then you feel like you're doing it. You know what I mean? Man,
it's the craziest thing. It's like I could stop now and I think in my own head like I did it. You know what I mean?
Well, in theory, like the goals that you set for yourself, it's like if you accomplish those goals, who's to say that you did not do them?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like I wanted to tour. Like I looked up to these guys. Like whatever level they were at, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's whatever goals. It's your own life. It's like if I wanted to fucking do 27 city tour, and like I wanted to tour with Huey and like Cam and Futuristic, and I did that. And it's like, well, like cool.
Yeah.
You know, I did it.
Exactly. But then, and now you're like here, and you're like, I haven't accomplished anything. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Like, you got to look back and like actually appreciate it. But like how it all happened was so like, you always say you like you got to catch a break, but you got to keep your head down and keep working at the same time. And things happen. I ran into some kid, and he was a rapper, and he was doing a tour with Huey Mack or whatever. His name is Timmy D.
I do not.
Yeah, and then there was this D.
Very casual name.
You might know. Do you know DJ Moneybags from back in the heyday? See,
I do not.
All right, so he was like a DJ. He ended up being a scumbag. Shout out to Moneybags if you're listening. he ended up like stealing money from us. Blah blah blah. Make a long story short.
Classic music shit.
Yeah, like I started with the producer. He knew DJ Moneybags. DJ Moneybags like wanted to sign me. Blah blah blah. He was like, so I started talking to him. We were hanging out. He was like getting me like these small like venue shows or whatever. Then his artist was this kid named Timmy D, and Timmy D was like, "Yo, like, can I use your backyard for like a music video?" And I was like, "Sure." I'm doing with Huey Mack. Like, oh, sure, like, why not? Actually, like, my parents aren't even here. Like, you guys can stay over. We can have some beers, whatever.
Yeah.
Comes over. They do the shoot. Huey comes. And Huey's like, I'm going to work with this, like, producer named Louis Bell. Lou Balls was his name back then.
Just a Grammy-nominated.
Yeah, it's just casually Post Malone.
This is a casual.
Number one songwriter in 2019.
Yeah.
But he was...
Not a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing I'm looking back.
Because
he was big in Boston, but, like, no one, like, ever, like...
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't known.
That's also on my list, by the way, to bring that up.
Yeah. And he was working with Malfi. And I loved back in the heyday.
Damn, that's crazy.
So Lou comes, because Lou produced the record that Timmy D and Huey were on. And he was like, hey, like, I'm going to work with Lou. Can I just stay here for a couple days? And I was like, yeah, actually. Like, I'm just hanging out. Like, I'm going to, like, Country Fest in, like, a week if you're going to be around for that. He's like, I think I got to fly back on, like, Friday, whatever. Couple days go by, Huey's like, I'm in the studio with Huey, and we actually argue about this all the time. I'm like, I'm not like helping him, but like, you know, we're going over melodies. I'll be like, oh, I like this, I don't like this. And he's working on his Pretending Perfection album. And he's like, yo, like, Mike Studd, do you know him? And I was like, yeah. I know Mike Studd. He's like, can he come? Like, we're going to do, like, a couple records together. So I had Huey and Mike in my house for, like, ended up being, like, 2 or 3 weeks.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Just recording?
They were working with Lou in Boston, and, like, they were just living in my house and, like, going back and forth. And I was, like, I was driving, helping out, like, where I could, and just trying to, like, be a regular person. Team, never,
but also, it also makes nothing. The, like, the fucking connection more organic.
Yeah. I mean? Well, you, right. So Mike came, and I was, like, all my friends are, like, this is going to be, like, really big for you. Like, this is going to get you places, blah, blah, blah. And I was, like, I don't want to be that kid that, like, meets someone and be, like, yo, can I jump on tour with you?
Yeah, yeah, like, for
you
sure.
You gotta massage the relationship.
For sure, for sure, yeah, yeah.
So me and Huey, like, got along a little bit more, and then Mike, like, really started, like, liking me. And honestly, nothing really took off with Mike how I wanted it to. I don't want to say, like, I'm bitter about it, but, mm-hmm. like, we had a couple exchanges with the same girl, and I found out things, and he found out things. So, like, it kind of got, like, all
girls,
fucked
dude.
Up. Yeah.
They fuck up everything.
So it got, like, fucked up there for a little bit. But then Huey was, like, Huey brought me on the tour with just him and Jonas, and I, like, did, you know, I did my thing opening.
Yeah.
He liked it. And then Huey and Cam were on a tour. I knew Cam from the Middle East days of, like, just doing, like,
yeah.
those, like, 100 people shows.
Sure.
And so Cam talked to Huey, and they were like, yeah, like, we'll agree on getting TJ on. And then Futuristic was someone, I paid him for a feature in, like, 2015, maybe.
Yeah.
I think it was Hollywood was the first one. And that one did, like, really big. I got, like, 100,000 plays. I remember thinking, like, wow, this is huge for me.
Where's Lambo?
And then we went yeah. on the tour. And I was like, so I'm on tour with Huey. And I had a song with Huey called Stay the Night. And then Cam jumped on the remix. And then Cam was on another song. So I had, like, all these songs that all these artists are on tour with.
Well, it all connects now. Now it makes sense.
No, the whole thing was, like,
yeah.
everyone at the tour, like, knew who I was just a little bit.
Sure.
Because I was on records with these guys.
Yeah.
And I did the 26-city tour or whatever, 27-city tour. Me and Futuristic and Huey were on the same van together. And it was, like, wow, I'm actually doing all the things that I told people I was going to do and no one believed I was going to do.
Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, looking back now, it's like, you know.
And it was
like
so, like, chance. That's what I was saying. Like, it was, and that now, you know, we already talked about Lewis Bell. Lewis Bell produced 3 of my records.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Mike, like, really liked him. So Mike had the money, had the resources, had the following, took him out to L.A., post meets Lou, because Mike did some things with him, blah, 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 they started going to L.A., Now LA, Lou's the biggest producer in LA and then the entire world. Working with, like, Kamala and
that's Coast crazy.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber, he did 2 or 3 Justin Bieber records.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
He wrote with them, and it's just, like, crazy.
That's such an interesting fucking story how that all kind of comes together and shit.
A weird thing is, like, I'm pretty sure the second time, you had to meet someone twice to, like, actually know who they are, right?
Pretty sure, yeah.
So Tyler Sagan was, like, one of our friends before he got traded. He had a banger down the Cape.
And so, actually, you know what's funny about this banger down the Cape?
Yeah.
Because, like, wasn't it in Osterville?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was living in Barnstable at the time.
Yeah.
And tons of my friends, all girls.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say her name, but, like, I know a story about this. Like, this is funny. This lines up right here because you were, like, on the other end of this shit. Did you go?
Yeah, so we went twice. And it was crazy. It was all girls. And, like, there was, like, probably, like, 10 guys. Probably 40 girls.
Dude, there's a girlfriend group, and, like, we were with them that night, you know, just smoking, doing our thing, chilling. She was like, we're going to hire Zane. Yeah. And we were like,
and you were like, I fucking hate Dollars.
But we were like, bet, like, let's go. And she's like, it's only girls.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, can we just pull up, you think? She's like, no. And I'm like, all right, bet.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times we've been on that opposite side of things. We're with chicks and some famous person or rich person.
Look,
gone.
They're gone.
It is what it is.
Someone's got to wear it. Unfortunately, it was us.
Yeah. Lou was friends with Tyler. Malfi was there. There was actually a couple Patriots players there. And it was a crazy night.
It sounds crazy.
But, like, that's how, like, the second time I met Lou. And Lou was like, oh, the second time I met him, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then the Huey thing happened. Like,
that's also good that you were in that area meeting Lou, too, because it, like, shows that you were.
Yeah, he thought it was, like, a high profile thing.
Yes.
This is before, like, I probably had 2 songs out. Like, I wasn't being,
were you,
like,
blue,
yo,
checked up, though?
No, I was not.
Okay, no, that goes a long way.
This is, like, 2000, like, 12 maybe.
Oh, fuck. You weren't making music.
It's just, yeah.
Or you weren't into it.
I think I had, like, 2 songs. Like, I literally wasn't even that, but, like, I was just making relationships. I was just starting to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had just been cut from Union, and I was I had just been cut from Trinity.
Yeah.
And that was the summer after that, and I was, like, really trying to, like, find out what the fuck I was going to do.
Yeah.
And so, like, it all, like, by chance just fell into this shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
like, so weirdly. And then I started off on, like, a good platform, and that was that.
Kind of gnarly.
Yeah.
Kind of fucking gnarly. Let me look back in this bad boy. All right, cool. What, wow, there's so many fucking gems in here. Where we at? No, beauty. What, you already covered that, but, like, what is your biggest, like, no, we covered that shit, dude. Oh, here's a beauty, dude.
Checking boxes.
This is a tough one for me, dude. Do you have any regrets? Like, in anything you did with music where you're like, you know, I wish I just fucking didn't do that?
Or
like,
millions. Is that an answer?
Millions?
Millions of regrets.
Absolutely. Yeah, millions of regrets. Yeah, yeah.
When you're...
Wait, let's crack a beer.
Yeah.
Crack you, real quick. Yeah, before we get to talk about regrets in life.
Before we have giant regrets and talk about all the fuck-ups that we had.
Yeah, that's
there's right. So many. I mean, shit. I mean, there's a million that I did in hockey that I screwed up in. There's a million things in life that I screwed up in. But when you make music and you screw up, it's out on the internet. Like, yeah, that shit lives forever. You know what I mean? So, I'm, like, pretty embarrassed about my old music and how, like, vulgar it was.
Yo, okay.
When you're like an artist, you try to like overcompensate sometimes, and you try to like become your character like a little bit too much, like you get lost. Mm. It's like the story you heard about like when someone plays the Joker for a while and like they become the Joker.
Yeah.
You get into it so much.
Yeah.
So like the whole like vulgarness, like when you're like 21, 22, you don't think about the fact that shit's gonna be on the internet.
Oh, forever. Dude, 21, 22, all I was thinking about was how quickly can I funnel a beer?
Yeah, and you like, were literally funneling and hooking up with chicks and talking about it and like one night stands and all that stuff. And that's it was it. Like, that's what you are when you're 21 and 22.
That's it.
So that's why I try to prevent.
And you're in a bubble. You're in a bubble at 21 because you're in college.
Yeah, you don't think nothing you're actually gonna grow up. You don't think you're gonna get a job. You don't think like you're gonna have to like face any of this. Like, girls like you. You know, you're hooking up with chicks and like you're going out to bars. Like that's your
everything's life. Great.
Yeah. And you don't you forget that like that's going on the internet and like people are gonna listen to that when you're 28, 29, 27, you know, that follows you everywhere. Yeah. So that's a huge, like, regret of mine is, like, just being, like, so vulgar that it was, like, this is, like, a little bit much when you get older. Like, you know, especially when you're facing, like, so you're a rapper, right? You're talking to parents, and they listen to your songs, and you're, like, bending chicks over and your song lyrics and stuff, and you're like, fuck, what was I thinking there?
Yeah.
You know
what's interesting, though? I mean, like, I look at my music as, like, I like to say it's, like, a journal. Because at the point in time in my life, like what you're talking about, like when you were making that song, like that was the idea. You know what I mean? Like when I look at my life, like I even listen to my songs now and I'm like just like even like it's so cool. Because you ever do this, dude? Sometimes I listen to a song that I made and I know when I was making it. And I'm like, oh, this song was in 2017. And I was like, I remember being in the dorm making this, bro. Yeah, you know, they just like paints a picture and you're like, I know why I was gonna make this. I know what the intention was. I know how I was gonna get it out there. Like you think about the thought process, and it takes you back to those times. You know,
absolutely.
I mean?
But here's the thing: no one else knows that.
Yeah.
So like, you can't. If I could sit down and explain to everyone like why I did this or why I did this, or anyone could do that, there probably wouldn't even be violence in this world because everyone would be like, "Hey, I'm about to do this, just so you know." Yeah. So like, when you make music, like people just go in judging you before anything.
Yep.
So like, people would probably hear and like. Charles and Chippe's right now and be like, well, this kid's a wild rock star party animal, probably has no brain cells.
Yeah, you know which I mean? Is so incorrect. It's so fucking incorrect.
But it's a reality that you have to, like, face. And I regret, like, doing that so – and I was so in everyone's face. I was like, constantly posing without a shirt on because I was like – I wanted to be this brand of, like, 21 years old because I was 21 years old.
Right.
But then you have to grow up. And
but,
you
like,
get
when
older.
You're 21
– that's the life.
And also, like, not to mention, like – I'm just like looking from your point of view, right? It's like I don't know. When did you get verified as well? That matters for like the social status of people.
I don't know, like 2014 maybe on Twitter, and like 2016 maybe on Instagram. I don't remember. It's been like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, but like even though like people like, it's more okay for you to post with a shirt off, and also like he has mad followers.
That's
cool. He's the man.
That's true.
I want to suck his dick. You know what I mean? Like and then it's like when you're 22, you're like, I want James Bud Light. She wants to suck my dick.
Yeah.
I post shirtless. Everybody likes me. I'm getting more plays. Like, what the fuck? Like, why would you not?
Right. And not everyone's experiencing that.
Right. So they just look from the outside and they're like, fucking loser. Like, it's so weird. Dude. Yeah. And it's like, you know what I mean? And it's like, well, like, that's because, like, if you had it, you would.
That's
exactly
right.
But we say that with everything.
But people never admit that.
No.
People never, like, stop and, like, actually understand. Like, I was on a tour where I was in a new city every night.
Yeah.
There was chicks at every show after every night. Like, that was a reality that I was living.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it was really hard for me to not talk about it. Like, I lived what everyone in my brain and our, like, dreamed about.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously I was going to talk about it. But then when you get older and you look back, you're like, okay, like, that's a bit much.
That's just because you're just, like, more grown up now.
Yeah, and you get into, like, the world where, like, 45-year-old people don't understand our life at all. Like,
and it was different time. Like, I'm trying to tell, like, when I, like, was quitting my job, and I was telling my parents, like, yeah, like, I'm just gonna, like, make money off streams. They're like,
what's a stream?
How does that even work?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, where's your W-2? You know what I mean? It's nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
But then, like, you realize it's, like, it's the same thing as, like, when they were younger, and, like, it's, like, technology started evolving. It's just, like, different things that people.
There was
just,
no internet then, though. So, like, they don't have, like,
there's no stream.
There was no, you had to, like, buy a video camera. Like, my point is, like, they aren't as publicly known. Like, I can Google you and know everything about you. Like, if you got an assist in your pee wee hockey game, like, I know about it.
Yeah,
I'll find it.
Yeah.
It's scary.
All right, I'm gonna hit you with some hot fire questions. So, these are from either, you know, your fans, or
and you told me my boys,
or your boys, or me too. I came up with a couple too.
Okay.
All right. So just hot takes. You can just, like, you know, answer quick, and just, like, you know, don't put too much thought behind it.
Gotcha.
Nolan Rattler or T.J. Hickey, who was more of a legend in Winchester High School hockey?
Shit. Nolan Rattler. He played longer than I did.
Nolan Rattler. What is your kill count?
I couldn't tell you.
All right. What is TJ Hickey's favorite beer?
Bud Light.
Bud Light?
Yeah. Corona's on the beach.
That's respect. Yeah, yeah. I feel that too. Yeah. What's the favorite show you've ever played?
Probably Chicago. What year was it? 2016.
Yeah.
It was like close to 1,000.
Wow, that's fucking dope.
Yeah. It was super cool.
Which should be like the same. You have a show coming up too, which should be around the same.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be close to 1,000, but it was in Chicago, too. So I'm like, I didn't know anyone.
Have you been to Chicago before that?
No. I'd never been to Chicago. Cool. And they, like, there's certain crowds that you go to that are, like, super receptive of new artists and some that's not. Like, some people like opener, some people don't. They were so, like, into getting to know the music and, like, so into the drops and, like, you know, talking to them afterwards. It's a little friendlier crowd in the U.S., I have to say.
Yeah. I opened for King Los at the Middle East one time, like, back when I was, like just starting opening at the Middle East, dude. Yeah. And then, like, it was just, like, such hardcore shit. And, like,
I mean,
look at me, right? I mean, it was a tough crowd. You know, I don't really win them the fuck over. So, like, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's dope, though. Chicago for 1,000. Favorite city in the United States?
Boston, Massachusetts.
What's the favorite song you've ever made? Such a tough question.
Yeah, I know. You know what's funny is I knew this question. This is, like, every question.
Yeah.
And if you had answered that, you'd be like, well, if I'm alone in my bed and my headphones on, I like this one. If I'm at the bar, I like this one. If I'm on the beach. I'd say Feel Free is, like, probably, like, the most, like, commercial.
Damn,
like,
Feel Free. That's just fire. Yeah.
That's probably, like, the one, like, my friends and family. I think it's, like, I think it could be the biggest one if it was ever, like, in the right hands.
Yeah. I mean, that shit also just feels good.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's a good record that, like, I could listen to over and over again type thing.
Blondes or brunettes?
Blondes.
Ass or tits?
Tits.
Mike's Pastry or Modern Pastry?
Mike's.
If you could go back in time 5 years, would you, / if you would, what would you do differently?
Oh, we already talked about that. I think I would tone down the...
Yeah, that kind of just went coincided with what you're talking about. If you could go into the future for... would you go into the future if you could for 5 years?
Yeah. Oh, you were saying, like, I'm already there?
So you skip time, yeah.
I thought you meant, like, I could see the future for 5 years.
Would you want to see that, though?
I mean, I don't think I could control my curiosity. But I don't want to skip 5 more years of my life, if that's what you're saying. Like, do I want to just wake up and all of a sudden...
Bad question. I don't even think I know what the fuck I was asking for there. But that's because you brought up a good point.
I definitely don't want to skip. I can't believe how much time has flown already. Like, holy, it's crazy. Fuck. 2015 was, excuse me, 5 years ago. The day you were just talking about what was the best year?
Holy shit,
that's already
shit,
5 years ago. 5 years. It's crazy.
That's insane. Best part of music, it's all fucking documented.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you can look back.
That's the best part and the worst part.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 times you come down on me on the ice, how many times are you getting by me?
You know what's funny? We never played against each other.
No.
Like, you were down the Cape.
Well, I mean, judging what you just said, though, probably 10 out of 10 times you're getting by me.
No, there's no way.
I'm pretty dusty now. I'm not going to lie, though.
I'm dusty, too. I haven't played real hockey in 7 years.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm playing men's league. We'll go 6 out of 10, all right?
I'll give you 8 out of 10. That's fair. I'll get my 2 stops in there, and I'll feel confident about that. But, yo, so I forgot to even take this whole fucking part in. I like to close things up with, like, you know, kind of a little bit more value in, like, kind of in the future aspect, right? Yeah. So we just talked about, like, you know, regrets you would have. There's people that do listen to this that are artists and shit. And so, like, they can definitely take away from that. But, I mean, if people that didn't know who you were going to find you right now, what do you want them to kind of take away from looking you up and who you are as a person? Doesn't it have to be, like, music related? You know what I mean? Like, they're going to Google you. They're going to see, you know, this stuff from your past as well. But, like, what should they actually take from your story, your journey, including, like, hockey and your trials and tribulations?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. And, like, the number one thing that I can tell people is that I started music without knowing anyone. Like, I had no, like, musical connections. I couldn't even stay on beat when I rapped.
Were you trash at the beginning?
I didn't know anything, bro. Like, no. I'm kidding. Like, when I first made my first songs in GarageBand, like, my friend used to sit next to me and go like this. 3, 2, 1. I'd be like, hey, like,
really?
And I'd miss by like a second. He used to get so frustrated with me. I literally didn't know. I used to just sit there and like not understand. Like, I couldn't find like the rhythm. I had no rhythm.
Holy shit.
I'm like actually so self-taught to the point where like I would sit there for hours on end on a computer and listen to beats and write songs over and over and over and over and over again with literally not a voice lesson, not a rap lesson. No one in my family did any music whatsoever. And I'm like the actual definition in my eyes of like, having no musical talent, not even be able to stay on beat to like where I am today because I literally just stuck with it because I loved it.
Yeah.
And that's the most important part is you've got to love it because you're going to deal with so much bullshit. You're going to deal with so much hate and so many people looking at you and waiting for you to fail that if you don't love it, you're going to not only hate yourself, you're going to hate everything about the music.
Yep.
And you're going to give up. And then when you give up, that's when everyone's like, okay, well, we won.
Oh, fuck that part.
Never wanted that part, bro.
Fuck that part. That is so fucking spot on. I think about that all the time sometimes. I'm just like I know I'm not going to give up because I'm in love with it as well. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to keep fucking going. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like...
You don't want them to win.
Yeah. And if I stopped right now, I'd be like, those people that thought that I wouldn't make it, they fucking
they
win.
Were right.
So fuck those guys.
And but that's, like, the fuel, too. It's like...
It's almost a story of your fucking life, though.
It's everything.
You
it's
know?
Everything. I mean, it's everyone's life. Like, everyone wants to see you do good, but never better than them. And that's, like, a real life stuff.
It's a fucking gem, dude.
These are like pretty common gems. I don't want to take credit for these.
No, that's true though. It's like people do wish well for you, but they don't want you better than them like a lot of the time.
No, I mean that's why people trash each other without like even knowing them.
Yeah.
But like I was labeled as a hockey player. Like that was it for me.
Yeah.
And then when I lost that, like I literally was like, what am I gonna do? I didn't know if I knew I wasn't gonna go to the NHL. I thought maybe I could go to Europe and, like, bang around there for a couple of years and, like, see what happens.
Sure.
I didn't even play a college hockey. I played probably one college hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I literally was like, this ended before it even started. So when I picked up music, it was like I had nothing left to lose. And, like, people, like I said, like you said, like, oh, this kid could come from hockey. Now he's a rapper. What's going on? Like,
yeah.
is this on drugs?
The haters are even more psyched.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean?
And I literally just stuck with it. I literally did. I had so much. I had lost so many friends over this. My, you know, family members were, like, concerned, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I did it because I like to do it.
What's and your it background, like, family background-wise? So you said no one's doing music or anything. Like,
no.
So did you get, like, any judgment from, like, parents or anything? Or like,
sure, yeah.
Yeah.
My parents have always been super supportive about it, but I know deep inside they don't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my son's a rapper. That doesn't sound great,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But, like, they really have been supportive and, like, you know, they actually play the music, but, like, I'll never forget. They're always like, why do you have to swear so much? Or, like, why do you have to be so like, vulgar about things and stuff like that? And I'm like, I'm trying to evoke an emotion. And they're like,
yeah.
Why are you trying to do that?
Yeah,
but they've
yeah.
been great, and my sisters have been great. I actually, like, apologize to my sisters sometimes because they're 8 years younger than me. So, like, when I was at, like, the height of my...
How old? 8 years?
So they're 20 years old. 20, 21.
It's a big gauge gap.
Yeah, huge. But like they went through high school and they're like, your brother's a rapper, like blah blah blah. Like, you know they got that.
Oh, they got it.
Like it just had to have happened. Yeah. So like,
high school too. They're evil, bro.
Yeah, exactly. So like I'm always like, that's like kinda how I feel about my family. They're supportive, but like at the same time, like they must have gotten so much crap about it.
Yeah.
Now, like things change a little bit when you start getting successful, which has always annoyed me. It's like, if you're a rapper, no one cares. But if you're a successful rapper, they're like, oh well, you're great.
What'd you say earlier? You said a point of like, everybody hates it until everybody loves it.
Yeah, bro, I hate you till they all love you. Yeah.
I dropped a song called Word of the Wise like fucking
three
months ago. Thank you. And dude, when it first came out though, it wasn't like getting much love. And like I got a lot of hate for it because it's absolute, like I've dropped a lot of stuff that's like, I like used to give a fuck about lyrics and like, you know, like really give a fuck about like the meaning behind the words. And like I've started to lighten up on shit and just make things that sound good.
100% get that. And sometimes that's what you want to do. You want to coast. You want to ride the beat.
I want to ride it, bro. And so did that with Worst of the Wise. Got a lot of hate. And I remember specifically this kid, he like has like a weird username on Instagram, like fucking numbers, right?
Yeah.
He was like, bro, you changed. Like this song's whack. And then like got picked up, got my break. Nelk Boy started, they've been using my music, but they used that one on their merch drop the same time.
Went crazy,
right? Got a break, lucky break, right? Yeah. Hits me up like right after, he goes, yo, this shit bangs. And I'm like, did you look at your previous message, bro?
That's exactly
that right. Is exactly it. Like, you hate it, but now everyone loves it, and so now you love it. Like, you're just a fucking follower, bro.
Yeah, it's always been like that. It's like, when I started doing, like, tours, it's like really when people started to, like, listen to the music. No one had listened to it. They would already hate it, and no one ever listened to it.
They haven't heard a song. I bet people could look at your Instagram and my Instagram, and they'd be like, well, fuck Matt Corman and TJ Hickey. Those losers from Boston that rap.
Yeah.
And they haven't heard one song.
Yeah, no, it's insanity. It's like the actual definition of it.
Could you imagine?
You're making fun of someone that you've quite literally never met, never heard a song, but like you know he's a rapper. Or you listen to like someone like 2011 and you're like, okay, well, he sucks forever.
Forever, right?
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you heard me when I was like literally had no mic and I was laughing on my laptop. But dude, I'm curious too, like going forward and shit. Like I know, so you have a show upcoming with Sammy Adams.
Yeah, December 27th, which is a week from tomorrow.
If you're in this.
Paradise Rock Club, which I've actually never done. I don't know if you've done it.
I've never played it either. I've been, like, there.
I don't think I've ever been there either.
Dope venue. I was there when Mike Studd played there.
Oh, okay.
And Cam was opening up. And then, like, I just, like, hung out with him and his squad.
Right.
Backstage there.
That's what you got to do. I mean, you know, if we're talking to artists right now, like, you don't want to be, like, for lack of a better word, like a dick rider.
No,
but like you have to be in the room. Like, you have to be like around people, and like you have to like network to a certain extent. That like, you know, you gotta be in the room to get on the stage.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be too much, because like as an artist, you know, you want to be nice to people. But like specifically in the Futuristic tour, there was all artists in the crowd. It was like the weird phenomenon for me because I'm used to like, you know.
Well, girls. I feel like Futuristic. Artists love Futuristic.
Exactly. And they all are like wannabe rappers. Like they want to talk to you for like 12 hours about rap.
Oh, I bet
and
they're talking to your ear.
You're like, listen, I want to help you, but like I got to worry about myself too. There's only so much.
But
I
they
can
already
do.
Think that you got it, bro.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's, I can tell you right now, I do not have it.
Yeah.
I'm not making
it.
No one really has it, though. No, we're not making a living off this shit. This is literally like a passion, and like, it, you hope to bring it places. And
yeah.
You know, we have the talent to do it. Yeah. Will we do it?
Yeah.
I know.
But there's no Lambos yet.
No. There's no Lambos.
Well, those kids
Lambos
in the crowd sometimes look at, like, TJ Hickey, they'd be like, well, he's probably got to, you know.
That's another thing, too, is, like, you go out and, like, people, are, like, expect you to, like, I've always said this, like, people, I wait in line sometimes. People are like, yo, why are you waiting in line? Like,
bro, I've got that, too.
And I'm like, I'm a regular person just like you.
What is
like,
that?
You have a blue check on Instagram. I'm like, so that means I don't wait in line?
But that's just people just, they don't.
And then they doubt you after that, though. That's when they're like. Like, I've had people be like take pictures and be like, oh, TJ Hickey's waiting in line like a bum. And you're like, fuck, it's not a good look.
Also, but that's just like a dumb fucking simple-minded.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Like, dude, fuck those guys. But as much as we say fuck those guys, that kid tweets that. 10 other people see that.
Yeah.
They're already, oh, TJ Hickey is a bum. Yeah. They're all a bunch of fucking, it's so hard. The market we're playing with is so fucking dumb and
hard.
That's
why it sounds so corny. And I was talking to Sammy about this. Only like artists hang out with other artists because we're the only ones that like understand what everyone's going through. And it sounds so corny, and I literally hate saying it out loud, but like it's a legitimate truth.
Yeah,
because only you and I know. I mean, whoever is creating music out there, when you put yourself out there and consumers love it, hate it, whatever, like no one else gets that.
No one gets it.
So it's like I understand why artists only hang out with each other.
Yeah, I tell people all the time. It's like, just because, like, I mean, like, I have a lot of friends just from, like, I'm blessed to like, have a good amount of friends, but it's mostly from, like, hockey.
Yeah.
Just being a sports guy, like, my whole life. And so, like, you get a lot of friends from that shit. But like when you start like doing this music stuff and start creating, like I'm sure maybe you got it. They always want to offer insights on like how to do it.
Yeah.
But like I always find myself going, I'm like, they're like, oh, you should make a song like this, or you should do something like this, and I'm always like, yo, how many songs have you made?
Yeah. And you want their feedback.
You do want their
feedback. But you don't want too much of their feedback.
Because yeah, and it's like a
thin line. It's crazy.
A thin line, dude. Because also it's like your boy.
Yeah.
But it's also like at the end of the day, it's like, yo, you've never like even taken an Instagram without anybody else in the picture.
Yeah.
Because exactly. You don't want to just have.
You haven't had some like random person be like, hey, like let me take a picture with you.
No.
They've never experienced that.
It's a weird feeling. I remember doing my first like fucking signature.
Yeah.
I was like, what do I write?
Yeah.
What do I write? And then like I was just like MC. And I put like crazy. A little diamond. I still use it. The dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
And the diamond? I gotta get rid of that.
Yeah.
I got shirt for that one off the fucking hand. I was writing a diamond on it. I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna get rid of the diamond. Couldn't tell you what it is. But I remember the first time I ever did it.
Yeah.
I was just like, something cool.
And it's so dangerous though, because I remember like the things changed to where we were all doing like meet and greets in a row. So someone would get a poster or something. Uh-huh. And then we'd all sign it and all like take pictures of people. So I'm like talking like 150 people you're taking a picture with.
It's a lot.
It's really hard for your ego not to be like walking out there with like I'm the coolest person to ever walk.
You gotta check yourself.
A lot too, because there's a thin line and you have to like find that line. And I've talking about regrets. I've crossed that line so many times where I've like my ego has gotten to shine way too hard. Where I need to be like, you're looking back and you're like, man, I did not need to like try to flex. And it looks like I'm trying to flex, but you want to prove the people wrong so bad.
Yeah,
you find yourself like being pushed over the line by your own drive to prove people wrong. And like, that's the game. That's like the giant game that you have to play.
There's a fucking, I feel that. And I'm so glad that I get to like, I'm glad. Like, I literally feel like I started like a spiritual journey like this fucking year when I quit my job.
Well, it sounds like the podcast is like really helping you do that too.
Dude, 100%. Like, think about like, I've gained so much like, even like from you, like you even saying that. Like, because like, I've done it sometimes too in my head.
Yeah.
Like, where like, I can get an ego and I'm like, before, like, I'm 24 now, and I'm like, yo, like, I could, like, keep that going, right? Like, I could, unless I become self-aware, then, like, I can keep that fucking rocking. Then imagine, I'm like, you never know.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, me and you both could have a song that fucking blows up.
Hits it, yeah.
And then we're gone.
Yeah.
Alligator, see you later. But, like, fucking, if you don't, like, have your ego in check, then you start losing who the fuck you really are. You know what I mean? And then people really start to fucking hate you.
Yeah.
And then when you fall off, you're gonna have another fucking nobody.
And it's hard because you have to show some progression. Like, otherwise, people, like, if you stay stagnant, like, no one cares. They're like, oh, no, Matt Corman's still making raps in his room, and no one cares. You know what I mean? Like, still getting that same amount of plays and the same venues and stuff like that.
Yep.
I was in Middle East shows for 6 years.
I can relate to it. I almost felt embarrassed.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I was like, can we just pick, like a smaller venue that's not the Middle East?
Yeah, dude. Bro, that's why I did the Great Scott for my headline.
Yeah.
Because of that, bro.
I don't even know what the Great Scott is.
Yeah, no, it's an awesome. Okay, spots. Good spot. Great sound over there. Yeah. But, like,
you just don't want to do the Middle East anymore.
Well, like, I did it for, like, this opening set for, like, my boy. You know who Ryan Oakes is? You ever heard of him?
Yes.
Dude, so he asked me to, like, come on, like, do a set because they were on tour or whatever. But, like, even though I remember, like, saying, like, my buddies, you know, it's always the people you're close with, too. They're like, where are you performing in Boston? I'm like, oh, the Middle East. They're like, oh, the Middle East, dude?
Middle East again?
I'd be like, come on, dude. And then in my head, I'm like, I just wish you didn't say it. Like, I just wish you knew.
Couldn't agree more.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just like, it's like not even that bad. Like, you know what I mean?
No, it's just like people are like, they want to see progression. And
so do we. Trust me. Do you not want to be selling out the Garden tomorrow?
Middle East is just the only place to like do like a middle level, like level show.
Yeah. But
then you can do like the upstairs or downstairs. Even downstairs, people are like, Middle East.
Yeah.
So I'm actually pretty happy it's at Paradise Rock Clubs. I heard it's a legitimate venue.
Oh,
I know it's not
there?
Like.
You haven't been there at all?
I don't think so. I mean,
it's like fucking huge, bro.
But I've done Brighton Music Hall.
It's 10 times bigger. It's bigger than that.
Which is crazy because Brighton Music Hall is pretty big. Yeah.
Well, you're going to have a big, like, it's going to be like a big show.
Yeah. He told me it's pretty close to sell out, which is interesting because I feel like it's going to be a lot of walk ups. So we'll see. Yeah. I think it's 1,000, like 900 to 1,000, like venue. And it was like 650 already sold. So I don't really know what his walk ups are going to
be. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be fucking pretty. I mean, you're going to have a good show. That's next week?
Yeah. It's a week from tomorrow. So it's
December. It's not sold out yet? I'll go. I mean, I'm gonna fucking go.
Maybe I can hook you up.
Maybe you got me, bro. Maybe you got me. But like, I'm definitely gonna fucking go no matter what. If you're listening to this, go to the fucking. If you guys have made it an hour and 9 minutes, then I'm fucking proud of you.
Yeah.
Oh, there's fucking shit in the beginning. Take out, but like, yeah. But yo, I should. So what's the future look like for you? I mean, are you like, you dropped a song? Looks like City Go Crazy was like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Was that your most recent drop?
I did a couple of remixes. I did Antisocial, the Ed Sheeran remix. I did. Jeez, I'm losing my mind. I did.
So that happens when you make music so much for fucking years.
Yeah, someone you love, the Lewis Capaldi or whatever it is, remix.
But like, what's the future looking like? Like, what are we thinking?
Again, I told
tough
you,
to answer.
I'm never gonna like stop making music. I'm gonna create at least another album. So I'm already in the process of doing that.
Well, your the one that fucking happened last year was
a little bit of everything.
That was last year, right?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, and in fact, it's like...
Did you drop an album in 2019? No, that's 2018, right?
Yeah, on the day, almost a year ago.
Really?
I dropped it on like December 28th, I want to say. December 28th, 2018.
Wow. So you didn't drop a project this year?
No, not one.
That's crazy. And also, yeah. You still do a Christmas show because the Sammy show is like a Christmas show.
Yep. So that streak's still intact.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did want to do the Middle East. That's what I was telling you. Like,
oh, dude.
They wanted me to do like the Middle East and like do like the headliner stuff, and I told you like I'd rather be an opener than a headliner. Unfortunately, headliner pays you a little bit more money, which is what you need to get back into the
absolutely
music thing. But
yeah,
being an opener, you get in front of new people, and that's like always better.
And also at this point, bro, like when like you have another income other than music,
yeah,
right. And like for those who don't know, I've been talking about joining the corporate world. I just got a job offer, so I'm joining back in the corporate life. But like, so like it's not like I hate to say it, but like, it's not like the check from the headliner is going to be that big of a deal. Where it's like the priority would be to get in front of new people and have a dope big show versus like doing your own headliner that you've been doing. It's like you could get a check, a dope check, but it's like,
yeah,
do you really need it? I mean, you know what I mean? But it's like at that point, it's like I would do the same fucking thing.
I mean, and it all started too, like, and I told you it's all about networking. Sammy went to Trinity College. I went to Trinity College. We never went there at the same time.
I didn't even know. Oh, okay.
So
never met there at the same time, though.
Yeah, we never there. Like, we didn't really know each other. He always, like, I'd always obviously followed him. I sure. always, like, had, like,
small he was the big name probably when you started doing your thing. I heard Sammy
he was
shit
before that. He was in high school. In my, like, senior year, Boston's Boy came out, and it was, like, literally everywhere. It was
nuts. Bro, my brother. So my brother is fucking... Dude, how old's Phil? Phil's...
Who?
My, I have two older brothers. One's like 32.
Okay, yeah. So it was...
29.
So that was... They were... That they probably hit... That they were in college,
though. Phil might be your age, right?
Well, I just turned 29 2 weeks
Phil's ago. Your age. So yeah. He showed me Sammy Adams, like, because he used to drive me to high school, whatever. And he was a senior when I was a freshman.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And he might be 29. He might be 28. Fuck. Whatever. Yeah. He used to drive me or whatever. And then he was like bumping like, baby.
Yeah,
and I was like, damn, who's this kid? This kid's fire. He's like, yo, he's from Boston. I don't know. Yeah. And I hate college remix and shit. Yeah. So that's kind of nice.
He's always just been good to me. We have mutual friends. I think I might have met him once. We were talking about it the other day. I'm not sure if we ever met him.
Really?
It's been like 12 years.
Damn, but that's crazy.
He'd always liked that I did like a little bit of everything. Like kind of music wise, and he had too, and we both had similar like upbringings, both from, you know, Boston and stuff like that, and it just happened like so organic. I can't say like enough is like just, we always say this, my dad's always told me this forever, is first be liked. Like the number one thing you can do in life, you can be the smartest kid in the world, you can be the dumbest kid in the world, walk into the room and be liked. Now how you be liked is you give a little bit of yourself, you talk about, you make other people talk about themselves. Because people like talking about themselves. If I get to air my life out to you, you're going to be, I'm going to be like, oh, this kid's a good kid listening to me. So like first be liked. And that's what I always do with Sammy. It's like, you don't want to like overburden someone, but you want to like slowly but surely like make them seem like you're a legitimate kid.
That's crazy.
That's how it works.
That's a gem right there too. No, that's true. I was talking about that. I was having job interviews and like a lot of the companies it didn't work out because they were like, well, like you're like too busy with your music thing. You're not going to commit to our company full time, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And for this last one, I completely took music out of the equation almost. Like just focus on, because like realistically, like I wanted the fucking job.
Yeah.
And like I was trying to tell these companies, I'm like, yo, listen, like I will put music on the back burner and fucking like work for you guys.
Yeah.
And like it like came down to where I was like, it's funny you say like first be like, because I remember like my friend was telling me she was like yeah, like instead of like talking about your music, for example, just talk about sales.
Yeah,
like stop talking about like music, like stop, like, you know, because they don't
you gotta
like
know
that.
Your audience, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that, know your audience. Yeah, yeah.
If they were like huge into music, you would use that and be like, listen,
yeah,
talk about someone who literally isn't scared of anything. Like I literally go out in front of people that have no idea who I am and I sing songs that I made. If that doesn't show that doesn't show courage, I don't know what does. Yeah, most people are terrified of that stuff. That's why like you gotta use music as like a way of, you know, being like, listen, I can handle your job if I did, you know, this, which is go out.
Which is how we feel too. And it's like, it's hard to explain that to somebody without sounding like a, because they can't relate. Like, it can't relate with someone to be like, oh, like how do you deal with objection? And I'm in my head, I'm like, You have no fucking idea.
It's always happened.
Like today. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Someone's like, I don't like your song. I'm like, my music's not for everyone. I could care less. Yeah. There's a lot of people in this world and I like it.
Yeah. No, it's fun making it.
Yeah, I like this song.
But I'll flip it on to you real quick and then we'll close it up. Do you have any fucking questions for me or any fucking things like on my end?
Are you falling in love with the podcast game or what?
Dude, fucking falling in love with the podcast. Dude, like, my Spotify went down from, like, I forget how many, whatever.
No, you're crushing it on Spotify right now. Yeah. I've seen the numbers.
Well, also, I mean, in terms of my consuming.
Yeah.
So, like, I listened to, like, a lot more music in 2018. Right. Yeah. And then 2019, it went down, like, almost a fucking 90%, bro. Because I'm listening to, like, podcasts. And then, like, I downloaded Audible. I've never been a reader in my fucking life. Like, you told me I read a fucking book. I tell you to kick rocks. Like, I'm not read a book. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? But now I've been listening to, like, a lot of, like, books on Audible because, like, honestly, Mike Studd has a podcast. You never know. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've never listened to it, but I've seen it. On social media for sure.
Gotcha. And I started like listening to his stuff a little bit more, and I was like, I don't know if I created mine before his or not. But anyways, I always wanted to do it, and then like listen to his shit, and I was like, holy shit! Like I'm more of a fan of Mike Studd than I was before because I was
just
like,
about to say that your fans after you doing this like you way more. Like, they're literally listening to it and be like, I mean, I heard this kid's story. I've heard him interview other people. I've heard his take on other people's lives. Like, your fans like you way more because you do shit like this.
Which, at the end of the day, is what we fucking want as an artist, right? Absolutely, like, how about, like, people coming up to you and be like, yo, like, your song and I was dope. Like, oh, like, that's dope. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, you've heard over and over about people saying how great TJ Hickey the artist is.
Yeah.
How many times somebody comes up to me like, yo, bro, like, I know what you went through, like a training, like I was playing soccer, I got cut from this, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, yo, I feel that story, like that's cool, man. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, bro, I got you. Like, you know what I mean? Now we're like humans.
Yeah.
You know, you're not looking at me for the image anymore. Yeah. Like, and at the end of the day, the ego thing too, I wanted to peel it back early on because I could see it like being like, I could see it with other artists and being like, yo, this kid's turned into a dickhead. Or, like,
yeah,
this
they
is this
get
way.
Like a hit song or whatever.
And yeah. Like, and I'm like, yo, like if I just like start the podcast too, it's like if I start to like, you've seen the list of people that I got one on it,
yeah,
it's like, yo, if I start like listening to people, like I learned so much more, like I've learned so much from just fucking talking to you.
Yeah.
And like I'm gonna take these, like I'm gonna take it and be like apply it to my own fucking music career and my own shit.
You know what it is about that, and this is a little bit off topic, but when you become an artist and like you well known and like you go places or you have a high profile and you say things like, or you go places and people know who you are, you start to run into this problem of like, I have friends, right, like, that I see once a month, once every 3 months. But they're friends. Like, I grew up with them, went to school with them, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, they're not a part of my circle. Like, they're not in my, like, every day life.
Yeah.
And so they see me, and they say, like, I act, like, a little bit different towards them. I only say that because, like, New Year's Eve, I'm hosting Finn McCool's, right? So they'll have,
where's
like,
it at?
It's on, I think it's the new Julep. I don't know if it's on High Street. It's in Boston.
Okay. Right at Faneuil.
Yeah, it's in Faneuil. Yeah. I've actually never been there, but
okay.
The long and short of it is I'm hosting that night, right? So they'll like have a session for me and like they'll have like champagne and all this. And it's my manager right now. and they'll have this, and I can only get like 5 people in, right? Let's just call it like that. Like my section will have 5 of my buddies.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be
sure.
Like, hopefully we can get like 5 girls in, right?
Yeah, because also friends don't understand. Friends automatically think if you're performing, you have like a guest list of 1,000
people.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, yo, you
and there's
going
to be 30 people that are expecting to like come
in. I'm
not
buying a ticket.
And be this, and they'll be like, dude, like you changed. It's like, no, dude, like you're my friend and everything. But like, I have to take care of 5 people right now. This is all I have.
Yeah.
And I always are running into this problem that like everyone thinks that like, I have to take care of them now. Like, this is a weird thing. Like, bro, I didn't make it. I don't, like, I'm not made a ton of money off this, but, like, because I get things, like, they're like, oh, you got to share with everyone. It's like, if I could share with everyone, I would. I want to take care of my friends more than I want to take care of myself half the time.
Dude, and at the end of the day, that's opened up my mind. Like, my friend that I'm hanging out with a lot now, like, she's just so fucking smart. Mm. And, like, she's, like, it relates a lot to professional athletes, right? Like, these people, they don't know any better, man. Like, they you look at a professional football player, some guy goes pro, and, like, you're in their family, you start hearing about, like, the aunties that you never even met before being like, oh, can you help me out with this? Like, on a small level, though, because, like, I've dealt with it before, be like, oh, yeah, I'm having a show, like, everybody come through, like, buy tickets here.
Yeah.
And then, like, day of the show, people are texting me, be like, yo, bro, like let me in.
Can you get me in?
Yeah, can you get me in? And in my head, I'm like, yo, worst. I'm trying to, like, you don't understand, like, I know you are there to be entertained and have a good time, which I love, but please remember, I'm there to do a job, and I'm the entertainer. And without me doing good, I get laughed at.
Yeah.
and like I get booed and people hate me, so I have to fucking prepare and be a star.
Yeah,
you getting in, I literally don't care, man.
Yeah,
you should have got in when I was posting. When we're talking
when
about
when I'm
it.
If I'm selling out the Garden, listen, I'll let you in, buddy. Like yeah, for right now, yes. like every ticket sale is like super important to me because like I had to rent this place out for $800 and I need to cover stupid shit like that. Like, people don't understand that.
People don't understand. They're like, yo, can I get? That's another thing, dude. Like, it's like the fucking, well, just people just don't understand. We can go on forever.
Yeah.
We go on forever, but it's just like people just don't fucking understand.
This Sammy Adams show, it's not even my show. I'm not even the headline.
And I'm sure, dude, I mean, they're you're like, a fucking you boss a, guy. I know you have a lot of friends free? Around here. Yeah. Like, you're like, yo, you get me to the Sammy show, right?
Yo, can you introduce me to Sammy?
Can you introduce me to Sammy?
It's like, dude, he has meet and greet tickets. They're like, oh, really? I thought the whole point of knowing you was to get into this. No, dude. The whole point of knowing me is not to get into this show and meet Sammy.
Yeah.
Like,
also, I thought we were friends.
It's like, well, that's the point. It's like, are we friends or are you just...
You learned. Dude, I said in one of those new songs I was just recording today, I was talking about how, like, I'm trying to actually close my circle, like, way smaller.
You have to, which sucks. It's like...
It sucks because you love everybody. Like, yeah. Like, who doesn't... Because, you know, it's an interesting concept between going from, like, a popular kid... And I feel like we can relate, you know, play sports, you know, you got a lot of friends from hockey, you got a lot of friends, and then, like, from school as well, and then you start, like, getting successful in something that you start, like, realizing people
that
have
no one believed in to start off with.
That no one believed in but yourself.
Maybe one person.
Maybe one that was like, yeah, you're good, but maybe it was buddy, maybe like, I don't really know.
You always have, like, two or three kids that, like, have been with you through it all, but the rest of them, like, they might have jumped on the bandwagon somewhere along the line, but they weren't there from the beginning.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, like, I can name, like... Let me think. I luckily for me, I didn't have that I saw, like, a lot of, like, disbelievers in the beginning.
Yeah.
But, like, that's just, I mean, I definitely had. They just didn't say it to my face.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, like, coming off the bat, like, I didn't. But, like, this year, man, it's, like, an influx. But I think it's because it's grown.
That's exactly. They saw it 2 million plays, and they're like, oh, dude, he's actually doing this. Like, we should try to get on
that. Yeah, yeah. But then also the haters came in, too.
Oh,
way
yeah.
more, and I'm like, what's good with all you guys?
That's because,
like,
you're getting success, dude.
Yeah, and they
it's just so,
fucking jealous.
That's why it just goes back to, like, only artists will understand other artists. But, like,
yeah.
I'm going through it now where, like, now people are going to hate me because I can't get them into a free Sammy Adams show. That's pretty much what's going to happen. I'm literally going to have that.
And how much are the tickets?
$20.
Dude. And I mean, at this point in life, right, like, we're talking right now.
Yeah.
Can't afford a
$20 ticket.
Fucking maybe 15, 17, I think, you know what I mean? The limes are 50 cents. Just take – I always was fucking confused with this concept. Maybe it's because we're the artists behind it.
Yeah.
But it's like, if it's $20, people are like, $20 is expensive. It's like, you're going to – it's Saturday night.
Yeah.
You are going to spend $100 plus more.
It's a fact.
And you want to go to the Grand.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you want to go to the table with the boys. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. And we're all throwing 100. Yeah. And then we're getting this shit. It's like, but you won't take 5 minutes to take $20 out of your pocket. Put it into that.
To go to something that you wanted to go to, even if I wasn't even on the show.
And if you blew up and now you're fucking Drake, we're going to be like, well, I was there the whole time. It's like, where was your $20?
Yeah. It's like little things like that. Like,
I don't know how that will ever get fixed, though, because like
it'll never get fixed, and that's just like a human quality. Like, for New Year's Eve, they're like, oh, do I have to buy a ticket? It's like,
well, New Year's Eve, you should know. Like, I mean, I think, right? Because, like, bars, you have to buy a ticket anyway. Like, I remember where did we go last year? We went to fucking Seaport, went to some Joe's. Right at Bar Grill, right?
Yeah,
it's
because
like everywhere else was like
packed,
$100 tickets, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And Joe's had like $25 tickets, and you got like, you know, a little champagne flask,
right?
And like we just went there because we were like, you know, fuck it, you know.
Yeah, and it's an overpriced holiday as it is, and I'm it's like, guys, I have a plan. Like, they'll hook us up with some stuff, but like, just get a ticket. Like, these are promoters that, like, it's no different than an artist doing a show.
No,
like, this is how they provide.
They're on the line.
It's a $20 ticket, like, it's a discount. So, like, just do it. It's New Year's Eve. You're gonna do something.
$20?
Yeah.
It's gonna go up.
If anyone's listening to this, it's gonna go up on Sunday, because that's how it works. If you don't get a ticket for New Year's Eve, like, tickets go up. It's like getting a Red Sox ticket, Bruins ticket, the last day they kill you. But like, it's just little things like that that I had to say before the 27th show, because I've gotten so many people being like, "Hey, I want to come to the show, especially girls. I want to come to the show. We'll get a ticket." It's like, oh, you can't, like, hook us up?
What is up with girls and the hookup?
I can't do that. No.
The girls and the
hookup. It's not my show. I'm just an opener on the show.
That's a classic, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, yo, I know I'll keep you like an hour. Any words of advice that you would give to somebody? I know it's kind of always hard because I kind of put you on the spot, but, like, any words of advice that you want to give to somebody who's potentially listening to this that you can provide value for, that, you know, maybe it has some similar interests in you in life that wants to do what you did or anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's just what I've been saying. Like, you literally have to love whatever you're doing. Like, as long as you love it and you're not hurting anyone else, for, like, the lack of a better word, like, just do it. Like, no one – you're not going to get support right away. Mm. Like, literally no one, if one of my friends walked in and was like, hey, like, I'm going to be a doctor, even I'd be like, Now, being an artist who's been through, like, all the bullshit, yeah. I would probably be some more supportive because, like, that's what you want because you lived it. But no one's ever going to believe in you until, like, you actually, like, get somewhere or, like, start showing progression or, like, they're a part of it. And the idea that, like, no one is going to want you to do better than them is, like, so real. So, like, the advice is do whatever you love to do and fuck everyone else.
Fuck them.
Because that's what it is.
That's my catchphrase this year. It's been, like I talk to my friends about shit. Like, they're just like, oh, like, you want, like, you, like, I'm talking about releasing a song a week. And, like just anything we're talking about.
Yeah.
Any type of thing, like, opinion from anybody else, it's just constantly just fuck them.
I mean, it just has to. Fuck them. It has to be. And, you know. At the end of the day, if you love it, that should be the only thing that matters.
Facts.
It really is. Like, if you make the worst music in the world, but you love it, why would you stop because other people don't like it? Like, if you did something else, they're not going to like it either.
Yeah.
As long as you put yourself in the public.
If you were like a legit painter, people would still hate
you. Yeah, it doesn't really matter what it is. You just got, as long as you love it, do it. And you're gonna deal with so much hate. That's the first people are like, I want to get into music. How do I start? First of all, write a song, record a song, and then put it out. And you're going to deal with a lot of negative comments. Deal with it however you need to deal with it, but if that forces you to hate, forces you to stop, you didn't love it. That's what it is.
You want to be popular.
Like, there's pro athletes all the time that get told they suck all the time. You think they're just stopping?
Yeah, no.
You gotta just keep going through it, and the only way you get to where you want to go is to deal with all of that in between. You don't just wake up one day and be like, oh, I dropped a song and now I have 100 million plays. Like, that's it. Like, it's a long road for pretty much everyone unless you get super lucky. Yeah. And you gotta love it, otherwise you're gonna quit.
Gems with TJ Hickey. You can follow him at TJ_Hickey.
You got it.
Beautiful. Listen, guys, thanks so much for tuning in today. Hope you have a good day at work. Peace.